Typically, individuals think of the elderly as wise, knowledgeable individuals within society. They have seen more, they've done more, they know more than most, and so are seen as the best resources for life counsel. And for those reasons, specifically, that is why typically individuals will go to them for that life counsel. But what if no one will counsel you? Or what if they give the wrong counsel? What is it that their wisdom or their counsel is actually founded upon? Is there a source that has actually seen all things, done all things, actually knows all things, and can actually be the best resource and source for life? The answer is yes. It's eternal wisdom. And therefore, we must listen to eternal wisdom. Again, listen to eternal wisdom. Now, wisdom gives us three reasons why we should listen to her: her prestige, her plea, and her promise. But before we look at God's word, let us ask him just to bless our time. Pray with me. Father, we just ask just for you to bless our time this morning. Just ask for your word just to be proclaimed and for clarity to come upon us, and just for our hearts to be humbled and softened before the truth in which you have proclaimed within your word. We ask all of this within Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in God's word to Proverbs 8:22. Once again, it's Proverbs 8:22. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard Edition. Yahweh possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When the springs of the deep became fixed. When he set the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him, a master workman, and I was daily delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and my delight in the sons of men. Now, therefore, sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from Yahweh. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. What is this passage all about? Listen to eternal wisdom. And the three reasons why are her prestige, her plea, and her promise. Let's start by looking at wisdom's prestige to see why we must listen to eternal wisdom. Now, there are three aspects of wisdom's prestige that we need to explore. This is the lengthiest part and the biggest chunk, just to give you a forewarning. We're going to be looking at verses 22 to 31. So now the three aspects are wisdom's pre-existence with Yahweh, her eyewitness account during creation, and her rejoicing. Okay? So within the first aspect of wisdom's prestige is her pre-existence with Yahweh. Notice all that she proclaimed from verses 23 to 26. From everlasting I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. She exists prior to creation. Before water, prior to earth, before the depths and heights or matter itself, there was wisdom. Established, rooted, and manifested fully. She is prior to all within our physical existence, all we can visualize or even know of naturally, whether mountains, hills, plants, trees, dust, animals, or even man trying to conceive of wisdom itself. This wisdom is prior to time and earth. Is this the wisdom that you typically run to and the understanding that you come to when you think of wisdom? So, is wisdom just this nebulous thought cloud? These ideas just floating around prior to creation? I mean, where did wisdom start? What was she doing before creation? Let's look at verse 22 to find out. Yahweh, the Lord, the covenant-keeping God of Israel, possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Now, we know that this is wisdom speaking because it's part of a continued discourse from verse 12. Also, if you are reading in the English Standard Version, just so you know, it may read created instead of possessed. The original Hebrew here is best translated as possessed because it refers to someone or something already existing that is being obtained. Okay? So now, this is not just a thought floating in space or some mathematical system of calculation which the universe is bound by. This is wisdom that is bound under possession by Yahweh. It is his wisdom with him prior to time and creation and has continued on since then. There was never a day nor time in which wisdom existed in which Yahweh existed, in which wisdom did not. There was never a day in which wisdom existed outside of Yahweh's possession, and wisdom is wholly dependent upon Yahweh. And yet he elevates her and esteems her into this privileged position. Now, all of that shows the first aspect of wisdom's prestige, and by her existence with Yahweh. The second aspect is going to be her eyewitness account and the participation that she has with creation. Now, don't turn there, but in Proverbs 3:19, it speaks to how Yahweh founded the earth by his wisdom, meaning that wisdom was the actual material that was used. So in every inch, in every crevice, every molecule of the earth, it is drenched in Yahweh's wisdom, so that no portion is without him. We get this similar testimony in verses 27 through 29. Look at the depiction wisdom gives of the creation account with him. Notice the main purpose is not the detail of the creation itself, but wisdom's eyewitness account of the creation. Wisdom was there as the privileged one Yahweh established the heavens with and in front of. Wisdom was there watching as Yahweh set boundaries for the water, establishing his rule over his creation. Wisdom was there to bear witness Yahweh brings the sky to fruition from nothing. There is nothing he said, she said. No telephone game. There's no he said or she said. There's no telephone game. There's no translation error. Wisdom was directly right there in participation in full accord with Yahweh. Wisdom is shown not only as a witness, but also of having privilege in that Yahweh uses her and she works alongside him. Watching and participating as a master workman, according to verses 30 in the beginning. And then also Proverbs 3:19 tells us that God founded the earth with the same wisdom. Wisdom receives this prestigious position to take the place within creation. This is more than just a building tower. This is more than just some fifth grade science project. This is Yahweh taking absolutely nothing and then using his wisdom as the material to bring all life into existence. Mm. Wisdom is the reason that we are able to sit here today and can listen to the word of God, that we can enjoy our family and friends, that we have been redeemed and can do and say anything. This wisdom was a partaker in Yahweh's first and foundational creation. Now this leads to the third aspect of wisdom's prestige. We've seen her existence with Yahweh. We've seen her eyewitness account of creation. And now we'll look at her rejoicing. Now her rejoicing stems and comes from wisdom's being delight. Look at the end of verse 30 with me. The word his is not in the original language. So the verse literally reads, wisdom is delight. They go hand in hand and they're inseparable. For Yahweh to possess wisdom means that he possessed delight. And for Yahweh to use wisdom throughout creation means that creation now has wisdom and delight laid throughout its creation and throughout its foundation. Springing from wisdom and her being delight was rejoicing because of who Yahweh is and all that he created. We see in verses 30 through 31, she was rejoicing over Yahweh first and most, and also then in his creation, which she calls his earth, to show its proper reverence, to show the proper glory and ownership for who it belongs to. Wisdom loves all that Yahweh loves and then comes from Yahweh without question. This rejoicing and delight includes the chief end for which creation exists, which is mankind. Throughout the chapter, wisdom has been calling men. We see it in verses 4, verses 6, 8, and 10, and even all the way back to chapter 1, verses 20. That we must listen to her. That the light is shown in how she doesn't have delight in mankind, but actually is the delight that is in mankind. In verse 31, the word having is also not there. And wisdom is stating that she is the delight. It is her as the delight within, among, and for mankind. We'll look at this a little bit more later on. What's interesting is that wisdom is stating all of this while mankind is in a broken relationship with God. Wisdom is speaking to her prestigious position and intimate nature with Yahweh while mankind is actually in rebellion towards Yahweh continually, according to verses 4 through 5. She has been shouting from the streets and from gates, explaining who she is, and with her target set at the hearts of mankind, from verses 22 to 31. So we will see her change from the position of I am wisdom to now listen, which is our second point, her plea. Now, wisdom's plea is straight to the point, no questions asked. Beginning of verse 32, now listen to me. And then again in verse 33, heed instruction, be wise, and don't neglect it. These are four implicit commands. Listen to her, heed her instruction, be wise, and don't neglect this. Now, in case we miss wisdom's urgency, let me share with you two other pleas that she proclaims within Proverbs. Just listen as I read chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves and scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. And again, earlier, look with me in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On the tops of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." Is there any question that wisdom takes seriously what she must proclaim? And that mankind must listen? She doesn't hide or try to go unnoticed, but boldly shouts loudly and publicly at the entrance, at the gates of the city, for mankind to listen up and stop being naive. This entrance and this gate was the main portion of the city to which all within Jerusalem would have to pass by continually. There was no hiding within this portion of the city. This plea resounds from wisdom that existed prior to creation, who was possessed by Yahweh, participated in creation, is the essence of the light, delights in Yahweh and in creation, and is the light of mankind. And what does she have to say that is so urgent for those that have to listen to her? This leads to our third point, her promise. So now we have looked at why we must listen to wisdom because of her prestige and also her plea. And for her promise, let's look and let's start in verses 32 and 34. Blessed is the result of the man who listens and keeps wisdom's ways. There is a twofold process to listening to wisdom, where the individual cannot just hear wisdom, agree, and delight, but must now conform to the ways of wisdom. This one has a certain eagerness about them, as we see in verse 34. They are described as watching and waiting by wisdom gates and by wisdom's gates and doorposts. The person listening to wisdom does not watch or wait for wisdom where they're currently at, but instead goes to where wisdom is. This is the conformity to which an individual must come to love when listening to wisdom. Automatic blessing and delight flow from wisdom as obedience to her do as well. Never is there one without the other. They must go hand in hand. Now, wisdom gives us a further description of the manner in which the one is blessed and the depth of her promise. And the depths of her promise in verse 35. He who finds wisdom finds life and favor from Yahweh. Wisdom grants life for men and brings favor from Yahweh for those that listen and obey. To know wisdom then ends in knowing Yahweh. So the life and favor that are granted are not finite but infinite, as they are measured by the one whom you have that relationship with. There is a contrast to this promise, though, in verse 36. Those that don't respond to wisdom actually sin and injure themselves. They will not taste life, but only death. Those that sin against wisdom actually hate her, and they truly love death. Wisdom gives us the picture that they're suicidal. But wisdom loves the things of Yahweh and hates all that Yahweh hates. And she states this in verse 13. To pursue the route of death is meaning a spiritual death, not a physical one. We see this because the individuals who sin against wisdom do so multiple times, over and over and over again. There's a continuation of their love of death. It is not a one-time love. It is not a one-time death. It is an ongoing longing for sin and hatred of wisdom and a longing for death. But there's a little bit of, it's a little bit veiled for what we have here with this promise. Wisdom doesn't fully explain how this promise is fulfilled to these individuals. And thankfully, God's word does not leave it that way. 1 Corinthians 1, 24 and 2, 2 through 8, explains that Jesus Christ is the wisdom and power of God revealed to mankind. This is the message God has been shouting since eternity past. Eternal wisdom is personified fully in the person of Jesus Christ and all that wisdom is. Jesus Christ possesses her as God in the flesh. The life that Jesus grants through him, becoming the sin, the wrath bearer for all who would come to faith and believe in him as both Lord and Savior, while he was being crucified, is what fulfills this promise. Wisdom's promise is bound within Jesus Christ, and he is the fulfillment and the manifestation of Yahweh securing it for his people. This is why wisdom is mankind's delight. This is why we must listen to eternal wisdom. And this is why she is the source of life. Listening to wisdom is coming to an intimate, is coming to intimately know the one who possesses her, Yahweh, Jesus Christ. So remember wisdom's prestige, her plea, and her promise, so that we must listen to her. I have 3 points of application for us today. If you know this wisdom, the first thing that we should do is just to rejoice. Because you know her, and therefore you know the one that possesses her. You have an intimate knowledge, relationship, and delight in Yahweh. The second one is just to rehearse the truth that wisdom has been proclaiming since the foundation of the earth. She has been proclaiming it through creation, and then since Jesus Christ has manifested himself. And to renew your mind on that fact. But lastly, if there is ever, for some reason, or if there is not one here, if there is one here that does not know, or is neglecting wisdom, or Jesus Christ, I would call you to repent. For you are out of favor with Yahweh, and heading on a suicidal path, leading straight to death. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this day and for this morning. We thank you for the fact that you have proclaimed the truth of your word with your wisdom. You have not left man upon his own to seek after you, but you have given and proclaimed to us the truth of your word and the truth of who you are through wisdom that has manifested itself in the face of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would continually remind and rehearse the truth of who Jesus Christ is, crucified and the risen Savior of those that would come by him with faith and believe in him and cherish him, and that we would live obediently to that truth, and that we would continually listen to all that he has commanded us to do. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.